This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Nick Brax. He's an actor, entrepreneur, and mental health advocate who, despite outward appearances, struggled with anxiety and depression from an early age, culminating in a series of alcohol-fueled events that turned his life upside down. Well, he managed to turn his life around and has since presented two TED Talks, one covering how creative and entrepreneurial drive can help combat depression, and a second on the growing suicide epidemic. His book, Move Your Mind, shows you how to build a healthy mindset for life. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And well done you for turning your life around so dramatically. It sounds like you went through some really tough times.
Yeah, appreciate it. I did. I mean, like a lot of people, went through a really dark period and didn't have the self-awareness or knowledge previous to that to know what I was going through or how to manage my mind, I guess, and it was through sort of trial and error that I got myself back on track, and it's obviously an ongoing process. And through all of that, I mean, there's a huge story behind it, but through all of it, I really learned and saw how big of an issue this is in society and how we need to educate each other about sharing vulnerability and how we can empower ourselves to, you know, create some simple tools on a daily basis to, you know, start making changes in our lives.
And you kind of wrote the book that you felt you needed at the time and couldn't really find.
Exactly. That's how the book came about, really. I'm not from a psychology background. I fell into the mental health work, and I was at the time on a number of TV reality shows and had an opportunity to speak about what I went through, and that led to me doing public speaking and sharing my story. And yeah, through that whole process, as you said there, I really learned, okay, here, you know, a lot of these tools I've learned from trial and error, and I wish that someone could have given me that knowledge when I was younger. So exactly like you said, it was really through those learnings, trying to package it up into a really simple to use book with, you know, stories from other people and just tools that, yeah, people can, you know, really apply in their day-to-day life.
And the first thing, I suppose, is realizing that you've got a problem, you know, realizing that it's not just, I don't know, feeling a bit low or going through a tough time, that there is an issue that needs to be addressed there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, having that self-awareness to realize it is one thing. A lot of people won't even acknowledge that or don't have that awareness to acknowledge it. And then the next step is, okay, what can I do? You know, how can I get help? Do I talk to someone? Do I go and see a psychologist? Do I read a book? Do I go and, you know, if you're comfortable talking to anyone, you could type literally into Google free mental health helpline and that will direct you. But it really is, the first thing is acknowledging it. The second thing is taking that action and reminding yourself that you can't deal with, you know, everything on your own, and there's help out there, and, you know, no one can do everything themselves. So it really is just taking those steps and realizing that this is something, you know, whether if you're a human, you're going to have physical problems, you're going to have emotional problems. It's actually part of being a human, whether you're male or female. So reminding yourself that, you know, it's part of life.
Yeah. And had you already come through the other side when you were doing the reality shows? Because as we've seen in recent years, they can be, you know, a huge amount of pressure for people coping with the social media and things that can go alongside.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of pressure, and it was an interesting experience. I guess I had, you know, being on those TV shows, I had experience growing up from a very young age. My dad was a big politician, so our family was very known in Australia, and I had learnt how to deal with the media, or it was sort of normalised to me. So that part wasn't too, you know, difficult for me. But, you know, at that time I was very much sort of in a better place and still working through things, but able to cope with, you know, the situation I was in.
And you were on Neighbours as well, weren't you?
I was on Neighbours. Yeah, I was on there for 2 years and a couple of years ago. And yeah, obviously it's bigger in the UK than in Australia. And I sort of got into the acting a little bit later in my life, but that was the first big acting role I landed, and it was a great experience. And yeah, something I felt really lucky to be part of.
It's a strange thing, isn't it? Why it's more successful in the UK than Australia? Do you know why that's the case?
It's funny, isn't it? I'm not sure exactly why. I know that in sort of the, you know, the 90s when Kylie Minogue and all those people were on, it was huge in the UK. And I think maybe it was part of that, like the Australian sort of, you know, beaches and sunshine and all of that sort of appeal to might have been the reason it kicked off. But I'm really not sure why, but it is a funny thing that it's got that cult following in the UK.
Yeah. Real life, I guess, isn't really like Neighbours, I suppose.
No, not quite. No, I think it's a little bit different. Yeah, slightly different.
Yeah. So how did you find the process of writing this book then? Was it quite cathartic for you, kind of going over everything and putting your experiences into the book?
Yeah, it was definitely cathartic. I mean, I've spoken about my story literally in the thousands of times, so it wasn't really anything new in that sense, but I had to really delve deeper into certain things, and it reminded me of things, and things came up that, you know, I hadn't thought about. So that was really surprising. And it came at a good time. I was actually living in Vancouver. I was back in Australia at the beginning of the pandemic, living at my mum and dad's house. And that was when we signed the publishing deal. And so I sort of had this, you know, 12 or 11 month period to really hyper-focus and dedicate the time to doing it. We had an editor working with me. And so it was a really incredibly difficult process and more time consuming than I could have imagined, but so rewarding. And I actually now, you know, miss writing it, because it was great sort of collaborating with the publishing company and going through that process.
Mm. And I think we know it's been a really difficult time this last year or so with the pandemic and the huge impact that it's had on people's mental health. There's been a massive up in the suicide rates and people suffering badly with mental health. And I know you're passionate about that subject.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been talking about it for almost 12 years now, and really my whole adult life, it's been the main thing that I've really poured myself into. And as you said, we've seen in the last 18 months, 2 years with COVID, just how huge of a problem it's become. Now, it was already a massive problem. It has become worse, and it's also highlighted it. People can't hide away from it now because they're suffering so badly that they need to talk about it and get help, which that part of it's positive. It's obviously not positive that, you know, so many people are suffering, but at least we're talking about it more now, which means people are more likely to go and get the help they need. And we're seeing that, but it is a huge issue. And we've got, you know, a really long way to go with the aftermath of, you know, what everyone's going through from what's happened in the world. So it's an area where we literally can't do enough. We can't have enough conversations. We need as many people as possible talking about it and doing things. And, you know, I just look at it like we all should be collaborating together to try and make this change in society.
And something which is a fascinating one that isn't necessarily discussed much. obviously, the people who are going through depression are the ones who are suffering, but for their loved ones, often it's very difficult for the people on the sidelines, not knowing how to deal with the situation, you know, when to say something, when not to say something, all that kind of things. Any advice on family members of people who are going through depression?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it affects everyone, and a family member or friend or colleague, if they are dealing with someone going through it, it's going to have an effect on them as well. And it's about understanding, how can I, you know, reach out to these people? How can I have those conversations? How can I support them? Where can I go if I don't know what to do? You know, often, so I think it's really reassuring people you're there for them, offering support, but not telling someone what they should or shouldn't do, because that normally has an adverse sort of reaction. And always, you know, referring to a professional or someone who works in that area if you don't know what to do. But, you know, as I talk about in the work I do, really, you know, we have amazing services out there, but the thing I'm sort of advocating for and trying to, you know, get messages out about is just general awareness across the board. And whether you're suffering from depression or not, how can I do things on a regular basis that are just going to make me feel better, are going to improve my mindset and give me the tools to become more emotionally open and also deal with, you know, the ups and downs that are inevitably going to come in life. So I think if we all do that, whether we're suffering from depression or not, we're going to be in a much better position to help in all areas that you're talking about.
And what are some of the things, the changes that you've made on a kind of regular basis that you do now in life that kind of make you feel better and make you feel happier going through the day?
For me, you know, it's exercise, movement. I mean, that's actually where the name Move Your Mind came from originally. It's been the biggest thing for me, and I come from a competitive sporting background, and I exercise pretty much every day, and I just find it, you know, we all know how helpful it is, but I find it profound how much it really does help with your mindset. I also meditate most days, and I've been doing that for the last 10 years. I do gratitude journaling in the morning. Probably the most important one is having these unconditional friendships and relationships. So I've got a group of people in my life that I can talk to 24/7, and they know me inside out, and I offer them the same. And having that, it sort of gives you this backbone that no matter what you're going through, you know, you can get on the phone, message, call, meet up and have that support. And I think, you know, it's so important. And in this day and age with social media and access to so many tools, a lot of us feel like, okay, we've got so many friends, we know so many people, but how many of those people can you truly rely on? And, you know, how many are unconditional? And that's what the important thing is, having those connections and those genuine relationships rather than just having all these peripheral ones. So I think that's probably the most important. But again, you know, there's so many things we can look at doing, and there's no right or wrong, but it's about how can I as an individual identify what's going to work for me and then put that into practice on a regular basis. Because if you can't sort of make it into, you know, a regular habit, you're not going to get the ongoing benefit from it.
A lot of people are scared of meditation in a way and maybe have tried it a few times, don't really get it, just kind of think, what, you just got to keep quiet and clear your mind and breathe for a few minutes. You know, it's a hard concept for some people to get around. How have you managed it? How does it work for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And meditation, mindfulness, it's become, you know, such a huge industry now. And there's so much different information, some good, some bad. And you know, there's a lot of people that are sort of jumping into that realm, not really understanding it properly. But I think like you said, a lot of people think, you know, I don't want to meditate. What does that mean? That means I have to go and climb a mountain, shave my head and sit in a cave and chant for 20 years. And, it's this weird spiritual thing. And actually at the core of, you know, whatever form of meditation or mindfulness you're doing, it's actually simple and scientific, because all it is about how can I train my mind to be able to focus on one thing at a time. I do it through, you know, I learn transcendental meditation, where you've basically got a mantra, you sit there and you just say this mantra over and over again and try and train your mind to focus on that one thing. And if you get distracted, you bring it back. But there's a million ways to do it. Exercise is one way. It could be, you know, washing the dishes might be a form of meditation for you because your mind's just focused on that one task. So it's not complicated, and it doesn't have to be this, you know, scary, overwhelming thing. It's just about finding what is it for me, that what activity can I do on a regular basis that brings my mind into the present moment, and how can I then learn from that to try and train my mind to be more present in, you know, other things I do. But you know, having said that, I struggle with this stuff a lot myself, and you know, I'm in New York at the moment, and you know, I'm doing all these different things, but you know, I'm struggling on a regular basis still with anxiety and getting overwhelmed, and I have to, you know, read my own book sometimes and remind myself of these things. And like I was saying earlier, you know, it's an ongoing process and there's no end to it. So you've got to just keep, you know, like exercise, it's like sort of you keep doing it and realize that there'll be ups and downs.
Yeah, you don't go for a run once and then go, yay, I'm fit now.
yeah, exactly. That's probably not going to, you know, have a long-term benefit for you.
Yeah. Well, if people want to get the book, it's called Move Your Mind, How to Build a Healthy Mindset for Life. It's available on our website, tre.radio. It's by Nick Brax, who we've been chatting to. Nick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.